Welcome everybody to another Stand-Up podcast. My name is Wemer Ferreira, COO of the Outcomes franchises at Stand-Up Asset Management. Today I'm joined by Sylvester Cobbold, Deputy Head of Fixed Income at Stand-Up. We'll be reflecting on the fixed income market over the past quarter, look at how we've positioned our fund, specifically the Stand-Up Flexible Income Fund, and consider what investors can expect going forward. Slide two, say it's been an interesting quarter, I guess would be an understatement. Please give us some insights on what has happened the last quarter and how the Flexible Income Fund has been able to navigate through that.
Thanks, Vimea, and hello to our listeners. It has been an interesting but a tough start to the year for most asset classes, including fixed income. On the one hand, we've had incoming data such as the low inflation figures and better monthly national treasury fiscal numbers being supportive for fixed income, while on the other hand, local political headlines and tariff announcement out of the US worked against us. And we saw survey data out of the US indicating a slowing economy, which supported more interest rate cuts by the Fed, while hard data was pointing to the opposite, and inflation fears emanating from higher tariffs complicated the interest rate outlook. And as a result, bond yields drifted higher during the quarter, even though the SARB cut interest rates at the beginning of the year. And I would say, the budget, the 2025 budget that was presented in Feb was a solid one, showing fiscal consolidation plans still intact. So, bonds and flexible income funds performance in the quarter, even though it was positive, led the benchmark. So, tough quarter, but very interesting indeed, like you say.
Thanks, Lionel. And with that backdrop, if we shift over to portfolio positioning, how's your positioning changed over the last quarter? And if you look at portfolio positioning now, how does it compare to where we were, say, 12 months ago?
So we cut local property exposure by half at the beginning of the quarter. So in Jan, late Jan, to increase our underweight position in that sector. And we completely sold out of our US Treasury position as yields came down. And the other material or significant change we made to the portfolio was we added inflation-linked bonds in the fund to hedge against inflation risks that are building up in the system. And then in terms of how different it is from a year ago, I would say the biggest difference would be our neutral position in ILBs now. We've been very negative on this asset class for a while and had zero exposure, which worked well for the fund. But now that we think inflation has bottomed, this will add value, not just from a defensive point of view for the fund, but also from better inflation carry as inflation ticks higher from now.
Thanks, Sly. If we think about your forecast or fair value projection for both the SA 10-year yield and ZAR, can you maybe give us some insight into that and then also give the listeners a feel for how you are positioned from a duration perspective at the moment?
So because of the uncertain environment, Vemea, we increased our South African 10-year bond fair value from 9.75% to 10% in the next year as a base case. But we also widened the bear case to 11.5% to reflect the complicated path to lower levels, given the environment is fluid, right? And we think, where we are likely to touch our bear case first, before yields move lower to our fair value levels. So we are sitting on a lot of cash at the moment. Duration is also below neutral. So to remind our listeners, the neutral duration position for us in this portfolio is 2 years. And we're currently sitting at 1.5 year duration, which shows that, the portfolio is defensively positioned with a lot of cash, and we stand ready to, once we have more clarity or certainty around where the world is going, to deploy that cash in the market.
Sly, you mentioned uncertainty, and I would assume that most of that, from a South African perspective, comes from the GNU and the question mark around its stability, especially given the recent budget debacle that we've had. What's your team view on the future for the GNU? And what do you think the market is looking for as triggers to get confidence back into the GNU, which, as you say, will get you closer to that fair value from a bond yield perspective?
Yeah, you're quite right. So most of the local uncertainty comes from, the politics, GNU holding. But, in terms of the views, it's hard to have high convictions, around where this lands, given what happened in and around, the adoption of the budget. Where we're sitting, it looks like the ANC and the DA are still committed to the GNU. Although, it's highly unlikely that more parties could be introduced, which would probably dilute the DA's sway and could lead to more noise in the short term. The one important factor to probably mention here is that the offshore investor base is nervous around the reconfiguration of the GNU, and they see the DA leaving being a very negative part of this whole thing. And they're nervous around that, which is why they've been selling South African bonds as this uncertainty has been increasing over the last few weeks. So let's see. Hopefully sanity prevails. It's hard to have, big convictions here, but we're hoping that these two parties are able to find each other and work with each other again.
And Sly, I don't think that's too dissimilar from the SA Inc. equity view as well. When I talk to foreign investors, that's the same view that they give. They're not going to come into South Africa, invest into our banks and retailers until they get certainty about the political environment. So with that, Sly, the last question is just on the interest rate outlook for South Africa. I guess every individual with debt in South Africa is always quite interested in the interest rate outlook. Historically, we've moved in lockstep with the US, but given global trade and the possible emergence of inflation in the US, can South Africa cut rates if the US stays on hold, or even in the low probability, increase rates in the US? What do you think is the possibility of SA cutting rates without the US moving?
If you overlay that, question with how uncertain this environment is globally, it makes it a lot more or less likely that the SA would cut rates before the US does. The fundamentals, if you just look at the fundamentals, like I said earlier, inflation, SA inflation is under control. The SARB in their last meeting said it would average around, I think, 3.8% this year, which is, below the midpoint of the target range. Even over the next 2 years, it's not driving away. It's actually settling around the 4.5% level. Growth is also challenged, which then, given that the neutral, real neutral rate is quite restrictive at the moment, it gives space for the SARB to cut. But we don't think they, given the external environment, they go before the Fed does. The market at the moment is pricing that the Fed would cut 4 times this year, starting in June, which could open up space for the SARB to follow in the second half of the year. We still believe that we'll see 2 more cuts from the SARB this year. If the worst case were to happen and you find the US economy in a recession and global recession fears increase, we could actually see more cuts come through from the SARB. But we think they wait for the Fed first.
Sly, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us. And also like to thank the audience for listening in. Please reach out to your Standard representative if you've got any further questions. Thanks for joining us. Until next time. Bye.